So if God's love will never fail and never run out, can you ever possibly be out of love? Can you ever possibly be out of love? And if God's love never runs out, and God is love, and God lives in us, so guess what? We also give love to others as well, don't we? So guess what? Our love for you and your love for me and each other will never run out either. You hearing what I'm saying? So see, what we as a church, we know that we are here to exemplify Christ's unconditional love to all, right? Exemplify it, show it, shine it, give it, do it. Prove it that we love others, right? Not by what we say, but what we do and how we treat one another and all that encapsulates. You've already learned through the scriptures and through Easter time and through Lent that we're here to bring forgiveness to all, right? Because that's how we also express love, isn't it? And so forgiveness will never run out either, right? So listen, even if you make a mistake, even if you do something wrong in the future, even if you don't love as Christ loved, and you botch that and you mess that up, guess what? You can be forgiven. And then what do? Start over again, don't you? Don't you? Yes? All right, so we never run out of love. We'll never run out of forgiveness. So far, so good. Pretty good, isn't it? Right? So don't ever think just because bad things happen or things go awry and life happens to you that God's deserted you or left you. God's love always remains, and God's power always remains with us, and our trust and faith in God need not be based on our circumstances. Here's the other part of that. God wants our love in return as well, right? That's why God created us humans in the first place, to have a relationship with us based on love. And so sometimes, every once in a while, we might blame God or think God has left us or left us alone or things go awry, and we say, why did God do this to me? Anybody ever say that? Right, yes, of course we do. Right. Sometimes we do. We wonder, why is this happening, and why is this happening to me? Pick on somebody else your own size, would you? I've learned enough in my life. I don't need any more lessons. Thank you very much, God. It's sometimes what, right? We want to choose that, don't we, sometimes? But see, the only way for our love to be tested is for it to be sometimes where life happens and we have to love God in return regardless and not blame God for the things that are happening in our life. Because God is a healer of those things. God loves us enough to help us through those. God didn't say you're on your own, you know, fend for yourself, take, you know. Jesus promised in the Word, he said, I will not leave you as orphans. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit so that when you need anything, anything, you can ask for anything in my name, and I will think about it. I'll figure out if you deserve it, and I'll get back to you later. I'll email you later on, and, you know, as soon as I'm not busy taking care of the universe. What does he say? He says, ask anything in my name, and I will do it. Why? Because he loves you that much. Now, we don't use God as this cosmic kind of give me stuff, right? But to help us through things sometimes. And God does bless us, and God does care for us. But here's the other side of it. We also have to do the asking, don't we? Because it says, ask anything in my name. How many of us don't always ask? Or maybe we ask for the great big things, right? I mean, when we get a prayer request in here, sometimes when we need a miracle, man, the phones light up and the texts go and everybody's like, oh, we got to pray for that. It's really big. But what about the little things in your life, the little details in your life? Do you go to God in prayer for those? Okay, so you're going to do both, right, sometimes. What are you going to pray about? Everything you need. What do you need? What do you need today? Whatever it is, guess what? God will provide it to you. All you have to do is ask. Ask. It's okay to ask. I give you spiritual permission to ask God because the scriptures tell us we can. Let's look at the book of Mark this morning, and I'll point this out to you even further through the Word, of course, because the Word is what always teaches us. If it's written down in the Word, it absolutely is true. Now you just need to apply it to your own personal life. You ready to do that? Does anybody need anything this morning? I'm just checking out. Does anybody need anything by chance? Need the air a little cooler? Need a little bit warmer? Whatever you need, just ask. We'll see who does. Okay. So Mark, chapter 2, beginning at verse 23. Mark 2, 23. One Sabbath day, as Jesus was walking through some grain fields, his disciples began breaking off heads of wheat. But the Pharisees said to Jesus, "They shouldn't be doing that. It's against the law to work by harvesting grain on the Sabbath." Is this a little bit dramatic here? A little bit of overkill, maybe? They're picking off heads of wheat, the top of the stalk. That's considered harvesting in the Pharisees' eyes. They kind of exaggerate ever so slightly. It's against the law to work on the Sabbath. So anybody here work on the Sabbath? No working on the Sabbath. It's according to the Pharisees. Especially do not even dream picking up anything off the ground or anything like that. Or please don't go into the fellowship hall and grab any food that's there, because that's considered buying groceries in the grocery store, according to the Pharisees. Huh? What? No, we'll get to that later. It's against the law to work by harvesting grain on the Sabbath. Here's a good but in the Bible. But Jesus replied, "Haven't you ever read in the scriptures?" You notice how Jesus answers the Pharisees who are questioning, because they're the law keepers, these Pharisees. Not only are they law keepers, they're also lawmakers. They added laws to the laws that God had already written down, just in case you didn't know that. So they were not God's laws, they were their laws, because they wanted to control people. That's the Pharisees for you. But Jesus' question is, haven't you read in the scriptures? Where do we look for our answers to know what is right from wrong? Scriptures, if it's written down. Haven't you ever read in the scriptures what King David did when he and his companions were hungry? That's back in 1 Samuel, by the way, if you want to read it later. He went into the house of God during the days when Abiathar was high priest. He ate the special bread reserved for the priests alone. Ooh. David and his companions were hungry. Hungry. They needed something, didn't they? They needed food. So where do they go looking for food? The house of God. The house of God. They came to the house of God looking to be fed and nurtured and nourished. The house of God. But there was bread on the table reserved for only the priests. Only the high priests were allowed to eat that bread. Rules, according to the Old Testament. But they ate the special bread reserved for the priest alone and then gave some to his companions. So not only did David take the bread and eat it himself, he gave it to the companions. He's in trouble. Someone's going to tell on him. The priests are going to get him. And God's going to strike him down, according to the Pharisees. Oh, who's talking here, though? It's red letters, Jesus. Then he said that was breaking the law, too. They weren't supposed to do that, David and his companions. They were hungry. They went into the house of God, and they broke the law. They weren't supposed to do that. Then Jesus said to them, "The Sabbath was made to benefit people, and not people to benefit the Sabbath. And I, the Son of Man, am master even of the Sabbath." When did they pick this grain? When did they harvest grain? Were they hungry? The Sabbath. When was David hungry? possibly the Sabbath, because the food was set out for the priest, right? It was a Sabbath. The priest was all about to do all this praying and worshiping and eating bread, all by his own self. No people were in that house of God that day, just David and his companions. Now, the priest was nowhere to be found. Just imagine the priest walks in and goes, "Hey, that's my bread. What are you doing eating my bread?" If the priest was a Pharisee, which he wasn't, there would have been trouble. But see, Jesus is showing that when people are hungry and they come to the house of God, what are they allowed to do? Eat. And we that are priests that are in this church, and those of you that are members of this church and congregational members or whoever, when you're visiting our church, however it might be, if you come here with a need, not just of bread, God knows we have a lot of it back in the fellowship hall. Please take it out of here and share it with others. God always makes a point with using bread, physically speaking, right? It's not designed for the priest only to eat it, is it? It's not for any special purposes. It's not for any ritualistic kind of event. It is to do what? Feed and share with others, right? So that's a literal thing. We're staying in the physical right now. But let's talk about the spiritual aspects of that. Every once in a while, your soul gets hungry, doesn't it? Every once in a while, your emotional self gets overwhelmed and beaten down. Every once in a while, life happens to you, and you feel totally wiped out, overwhelmed, smashed to the ground emotionally and physically speaking sometimes. You feel totally spent, that there's not one ounce of energy left, and you certainly have felt like you've run out of peace and joy and love. And you're totally, totally hungry and thirsty. And in need of an answer, need of that refilling. Where do you go? To the house of God. Into the house of God. See, here in the house of God, or at least this house of God, I don't know what kind of needs you have. They could be physical, they could be emotional, they could be spiritual. They could be all three all at once. Some of us have a lot going on all the time, don't we? Right? And life continues to happen to all of us, doesn't it? Yes, it does. And it will continue to do so, won't it? And so when we get emotionally beat up, if you will, or spiritually spent, and we've run out of any kind of trust or faith in God sometimes, anybody we know can do that, right? Because life will drain us sometimes, won't it? We get empty inside, don't we? Some of us have psychic wounds within us that are still needing healing. Some of us have emotional wounds that are still, every once in a while, you know, we thought they were healed and something scratches it open again because maybe it really wasn't healed. Some of us are holding on to shame or guilt or mistakes we've made in our past, and we're holding that in, and it still hurts us. And sometimes it even hurts other people because of the way we treat them, because maybe they open up that wound by something they say or do, and we don't even know why. And we need something, don't we? Don't we? Don't you? Where do you find it? In God's house. See, here's what I know about Jesus. See, he was challenging the Pharisees, saying, "My boys, my disciples were hungry, so they took some wheat. So be it." He put it right back into those Pharisees, saying, it doesn't matter. If people are hungry, they are welcome to eat on the Sabbath. In fact, that is what the Sabbath is for. And this is our Sabbath, is it not, here at Cornerstone right now? This is our Sabbath. So the Sabbath is here to benefit you, to give you what you need. We're open every Sunday and other days besides. And the doors are always open if you need something spiritually, physically, or emotionally. Now, we may not always be able to meet your physical needs, But if your spiritual one is met, who's going to meet the physical one? God always will. Because this is God's house. This is God's house. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, we're going to go there real quickly. And think about what it is you need this morning, by the way. Keep that in the back of your mind. Because you can get what you need here this morning should you ask. Now, if you don't ask and receive today, we'll be here next Sunday. And then following Sunday. And the next Sunday. And a lot of other Sundays. We'll be here Sunday night. And every other day in between. And God's available and open 24/7, in case you didn't know that. Hebrews 10:19. So, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. Remember we talked about that. When Christ died, he opened up heaven, right? Opened up the doors for all humanity to walk right on in. So he was the key that opened the door. And guess what? The doors are flung open for anybody to enter in. That's what's going to happen. When you pass from this life to the next, Jesus is going to come because he's prepared a room for you, and he's going to fling open the doors and say, "Welcome to my house. Go find your room." Go visit some other people in their rooms while you're at it, right? What a glorious day that'll be. But in the meantime, this is the new life, life-giving way that Christ has opened up for us through the sacred curtain by means of his death for us. Remember the priest earlier that we talked about? He was doing his ritual. He's by himself, praying for people's souls and asking for forgiveness. That's really why the bread was there. And he would eat that bread, and then that would be his supper, so to speak. Praying for others. He was interceding on people's behalf. Guess who's interceding on our behalf now? Jesus Christ is, right? So we don't need a high priest anymore. You don't need a high priest. You've got a high priest. And by the way, if Jesus is praying for you constantly in the heavenly realms, whatever you need and he hears you ask because he's paying attention to you, even while he's listening to me. Now imagine that. I do a lot of praying. I do an awful lot of asking, not only on my behalf, but on the behalf of others, right? So I keep Jesus pretty busy. But he's not so busy that he can't hear your prayers too. That's how powerful God is. So we can enter into that place where we ask Jesus for what we need. Verse 21. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's people, let us go right into the presence of God. Whenever you have a problem, you may be too far away from God's house right here, physically speaking, right? But you know what you can go into at any moment of any day, anytime, 24/7? You can go right into God's presence at any moment that you want to through prayer. Just calling on God. You don't have to wait. Oh, I wonder what his hours are. He's got an appointment with Pastor Joyce for like 3 hours. When can you enter God's presence? And if I'm in God's presence or somebody else is in God's presence simultaneously, is God going to put you in the waiting room? You know, it's not like God's a doctor that you have to sit there if like 2 more hours because the person before you was late and the other person was late. The other person was late. And you're like, when am I going to get my appointment here? This is not how God works. You can go right into at any given moment God's presence. So if you have a need, no matter what it is, just think of God's house in heaven being a place that's open 24/7, and the light is always on, and his ears are always open, and his heart is always willing for you to step right into God's presence any moment of any day. So when you need something, what are you going to do? Go right to God. Go right to God. From time to time when you're here at church, you come into God's presence because the Holy Spirit's here right now. So yes, you step into God's presence big time amongst us all. Wherever two or more are gathered, Jesus said, I'm there too. So if there's ever two or more of you, wherever you might be, you could be at Taco Bell for that matter. Christ is there too. So order like an extra taco for Jesus. Wherever you are, God is. And especially at your greatest moment of need. When you are in the darkest of night and the loneliest of places and at the greatest moment of fear and your emotions start to shake and your faith starts to waver, I want you to do something. This is a physical thing I want you to do, so you can practice it with me today, right? Here's what I want you to do. You're all freaked out. You're all wigged out. You're all whatever. You step into the presence of God. You just take a step. You step right in. Shall we practice at church? Everybody up with me? First and foremost, think about what you need most right now. And if you need to move away from the chairs and all that stuff and you need to just like knock me down walking into God's presence, that would be okay because I'm already in God's presence. So I want you to think right now, what is it you need most? Something you've never asked for before. Or didn't think you could have. It could be something of a very deep spiritual nature or an emotional one. It could be a miracle that you need, or you need something within you that's always been missing, or something you need taken out of you that's always bothered you and plagued you and hurt you and kept you stuck. Whatever it is you need this morning, whatever it is, step right into God's presence right now and ask for it. And it would be okay to put your hands out. And imagine in your hands is exactly what you needed. And then you can take it and put it right into your heart. Right into your mind, right into your soul while you're in God's presence. And now that you've received exactly what you need, you can breathe a sigh of relief. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. So take what you need at any moment of any day. You've learned a great thing this morning, I believe. If you take one step towards God into God's presence, the door that's open to you, you walk right in that door, everything and anything you need is right there for your taking. If you ever notice here in our church, our refrigerator doors don't have locks on them. Our cupboards that have our food don't have locks on them. That's for a good reason. God's refrigerator, God's cupboards are always open in a physical way. So that anybody who needs something can go and take it off the shelf. And if the shelves get empty and the refrigerator gets empty, it gets refilled. That's just symbolic. When you look at our refrigerators, look in there from time to time. Take out what you need. That's symbolic of how God's love is, God's provision for anything and everything you need spiritually speaking, emotionally speaking. All you have to do, open the door, take what you need, and go on about living your life to the fullest. Great poem that I read many, many, many years ago called Heaven's Grocery Store. Heaven's Grocery Store. I was walking down life's highways a long time ago when I came across a sign that said, Heaven's Grocery Store. As I got a little closer, the door came open wide. And then before I knew it, I was standing right inside. I saw a host of angels. They were standing everywhere. One handed me a basket and said, "My child, please shop with care." Everything a Christian needed was in that grocery store. And all you couldn't carry then, you could always come back for more. First, I got some patience. I'm going to add my own little poem. I really needed that. Love was also in that row. Further down was understanding. We need that everywhere we go. a box of two of wisdom and a bag of two of faith. I couldn't miss the Holy Spirit. It was all over the place. I got some strength and courage, for salvation was definitely free. So I tried to get enough of that to save both you and me. Then I started for the counter to pay my grocery bill. I thought that I had everything to do the master's will. I ran right into prayer, and I just had to put that in. For I knew when I stepped outside, I'd run right into sin. Peace and joy were plentiful. They were the last upon the shelf. Song and praise were hanging near, so I just helped myself. Then I said to the angel, "How much do I owe?" He smiled and said, "Just take them with you wherever you go." Again, I smiled and asked, "How much do I really owe?" He said, "My child, Jesus paid your bill a long, long time ago." So just think about God's house as God's grocery store as well. Whatever you need, you'll find in Jesus Christ. And we're here as a church family to help you load up your groceries, to load up into you everything that you need. What do you need today? Whatever it is, you can have it by asking. Just step into God's presence and take exactly what you need. And there's more left over besides. Amen? Amen. Amen.